Have another quick prayer here, a normal prayer. Lord, I pray that we'd all have a Pentecostal gift of hearing and be touched and blessed in just the way we need to in the brief time we have left. Well, I'm not going to do really Corinthians 13 tonight. Did I say amen or just start talking? Well, if you don't care where you are, you're never lost. That's the good news. So I'm going to just mention this chapter, and then we're going to break it down in January. I'll just tell the guys to keep the brakes on. So this will be our first lesson. So you're good. No homework over the holidays, I guess. So, you know, the big deal about when he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, is that love is so much, it's misunderstood. You know, all the mushy movies and stuff like that, Hallmark Channel, which my wife has seen every movie that they have, It's big boy, this is big boy love, biblical love. And the thing when he says, if you don't do it in love, it doesn't count, love reveals your basic position towards everything. Because love is willing to suffer, love is willing to sacrifice, love is selfless. The opposite of love basically is pride, which results in anger. Anger separates. Anger is toxic. Anger is destructive. Love builds up. These are juxtapositions. And Jesus Christ said, the last teachings he gave before he was arrested and brutally beaten and murdered was John 14 and 15. When you go through the book of John, the first 12 chapters, Jesus is ministering to the public. If you notice, every time he talks, there's a crowd around. Once he hits John 13, 14, he's ministering to his guys. This is one of the things that CEOs, you read about it again and again, they don't really pick and groom a successor. They retire and then everybody's just left hanging, per se. But so he prepares his guys. The last part of John 17, the high priestly prayer, till this day, Jesus Christ has a ministry of intercession. And he intercedes for us this day. The high priestly prayers in John 14. So, the last thing, he told this to his disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I said that slowly because we have to think about that in slow motion. You know, if you really could grab that, you'd jump out of an airplane with no parachute. You'd trust God so much. I'm going to say it again. Jesus Christ said this. Just as the Father has loved me, that's how much I love you guys. How much would that be, fellas? How much do you think God the Father loves his precious son, Jesus? We can't even begin to think about it. Y'all have heard me talk. I start talking about the Sombrero Galaxy, and my brain just gets lost. It's so big. Well, that's times infinitum, as they say. Then he said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, you will obey me. You'll do it. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul equates being a man of God, a Christian man of God, with a soldier. And he says this, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, military language is all through the Bible. Unfortunately, the church has been somewhat feminized in the last 50 years. Not picking on anybody, but it just has. Not all churches, but a lot. But a soldier, it helps if he loves his general, but whether he does or not, he may agree with the order, he may not agree with it, but if he's a soldier, what will he do? He'll do it. Unless it's some heinous sin against God, he'll do it. Well, what orders do we get from God that are heinous sins against God? None of them. So biblical love is an act of our volition. It's an act of our will. Matter of fact, many theologians, myself included, agree that the more distasteful the act is, probably the greater love you had to spend to do that act. You know, I've done a lot of things for my family, my kids, that I wish I didn't. I mean, I hate being there sometimes. Sometimes I have to give people the gift of listening. I talked to a guy recently that's hard to be around. I mean, he's visually really hard to look at. You know, I describe him, but I'm afraid he may listen to this brought this thing or figure out who he is. But I took a good friend the other day to meet with this guy, and I've been meeting with him a long time. And it's such a funny thing. It just took all the discipline and love I had just to hang in there and stand near to him because of the way he smells and just look at him. And then when we pulled away, my buddy said, you know, that might be one of the greatest things I've done in a year. I said, you know, I know. Christ said, when you do it to who? You do it to him. The least of these. Now, this is the way you build a great culture. In your outfit, in your business, on your team, it's how the least of these is treated and thought of. And that's how you build a great culture according to Christ. So this whole idea, and I want to say this, and I'll just kind of pause this, and I'm going to break down these. We're going to break this down for you in January. This is too big of a deal, and I'll tell you why. We've had a journalist group in D.C. It's off the grid because they need to meet in private because they're public people. They have problems with their kids and wives and personal lives like everybody does. So they need a safe house, a safe group to be in, and. But when it first started, one of the guys is pretty notable fella. I said, "What would you fellows like to study this year?" And this one of the journalists said, "You know, how do you be a journalist and not just vilify people? Because that's what we do. This idea of being a Christian and being a journalist at the same time, it's totally new to all of us. Everybody in this group." Matter of fact, we don't know if it's ever been done before. This could be the first journalist Bible study maybe in history. We don't know. I said, well, I promise you, they didn't tell me in seminary, no, when you get to a journalist Bible study, here are the five. No, never heard of that. So he said, how do we do it? How do we be journalists and not vilify somebody? One of the guys said, hey, what about that, what they call the love chapter you hear at the weddings all the time? I said, that'd be 1 Corinthians 13. So we studied it. Now, I just want to say this before I pause and give you a little Christmas message. Guys, you hear this at so many weddings, you know, and even at some graduations and stuff. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong. And it's read kind of like that. Now, in the ministry, ministers have a joke. Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that's the one during the wedding rehearsal. The mother of the bride looks at the pastor and says, Pastor, I want you to read Corinthians 13 and look straight in the eye of my son-in-law the whole time you're reading it. And it just sounds, it's just, I would say one of the top five eloquent chapters in the Bible. Everybody would agree with, but listen to it. Now look at the words. But if I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now there's the ramp up. You're just making noise. Now, this is all the tongues of men and angels, and it's assumed eloquently. I'm going to do this slowly. If I have prophetic powers, and how much understanding do I have? All mysteries and all knowledge. Now, can you imagine that? You can't learn anything at this point. You know everything, which would make you cotangent with who? God. You know the old saying, the guy was going to testify in court and the bailiff said, raise your hand, put your hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? He said, sir, if I knew the whole truth and nothing but the truth, I'd be God. This says, if I knew so much, I was cotangent, I knew all the mysteries, unexplainable thing. It's a mystery. We can't explain it. You get it. And all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith so as to remove mountains and have not love. Now, look at the default. This is crushing. What's the default there if you have not love? You lose 30 points? You lose 50 points? Zero. I got to tell you, this is like a scary chapter in the Bible if you take it seriously. You see where I'm going with this? This is like a serious chapter in the Bible. It's so poetic and it's read at happy occasions. That's why I'm going to take some time for this, and we're going to pick it back up our first session in January, because if the fault is nothing, we really need to know what all this is. Now, we'll tell you up front, we don't have this kind of love in us. This is kind of good news and bad news. You don't have this to give. You have to ask for it. You have to get it from the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you this story and then tell you about Zechariah and the Virgin Mary. Of all the people I've met in all my travels and all the groups I've been around and spoken to, I've told you about this guy before. His name was Forrest Ray. He's in heaven now. But I was speaking at a large men's conference out in Palm Springs, at one of the resorts, like 500 men, La Quinta or somewhere like that, any of you that have been out there. And there was one guy, he was an old guy. He wasn't decrepit, but he was definitely in the fourth quarter. And not in overtime, but in the fourth quarter. And he had a wonderful countenance about him, peaceful, but a quiet spirit. And I kept noticing the men called him Pops. Some called him Dad. Just different terms of endearment like that, they were father image words they kept using for this guy. And I thought, what is that? Who is this guy? And a lot of just strapping guys, a couple of Marines were there, and they called him Pops. And I finally realized this guy is kind of the spiritual dad for a lot of these men. And, you know, well, we were sitting outside the dining hall. I was trying to escape, because when you go to a big conference, it's not just the talks you give that wear you out. It's they all come to you with these questions, and it's not like their 10th worst problem. I mean, which one do they bring to you? I mean, it's always the worst one, you know. And then they can't ask you the question in 30 seconds. They have to talk like 30 minutes before the question's finally over with. You know, by then you're trying to just stay awake and not be cross-eyed and follow the thesis. And it wears you out. But one of the ways we love people is to give them the gift of listening. Because in my presentation in January, I'm going to talk about the different love languages. Because people have different love languages. Like mine's service. I fix stuff. I'm a cleaner, and I fix stuff. And that's the way I love my family. I check gauges. I put water pumps in. And that's literally the way I love people. Other people have the love, their love language is giving. And I'm that's not mine, but I try to find people like that and be friends with them and be like a really good brother, you know? So I was sitting outside the dining hall with this guy. His name was Forrest Ray. I said, and it was just us, you know, in this bushes and everything, waiting for the bell to ring, trying to escape all the guys that wanted some counseling. And I said, who are you? He said, what do you mean? This is very soft-spoken. I said, what's your name? He said, Forrest Ray. I said, well, who are you? He said, what do you mean, who am I? I said, all these men, these sharp guys, they keep referring to you as Dad, Pops. He said, well, I guess I'm kind of the Godfather and Jesus to a lot of these men. I guess I am. I said, do you have a family of your own? He said, I do. I have a wife and one son. I said, tell me about them. He said, well, I'm a retired postal worker. I delivered mail for 40 years. And my wife has rheumatoid arthritis. Her pain equals having childbirth every day. I'm her caregiver. She never leaves our home. I said, what about your son? He's grown. What's he do? He's in prison. What happened? Drugs? I said, wow. I said, well, what is it about you? I don't even know what I'm trying to ask you. I'm just mesmerized by you like these other guys are. What do you have? What is it? I said, I'm the speaker to this whole thing, and I don't know what's going on. What is it? He said, I guess it's the love of Jesus. I said, you know, that's what I was thinking you might say. I said, you have the love of Jesus. He said, I do. I said, how'd you get it? And he paused, and this little fountain was going. He said, well, one day I asked Jesus to put his love in my heart. I said, what happened? He thought, and he said, he did. I said, is that it? And he thought some more. He said, that's pretty much it. I'm like, crap, I'm reading a 500-page book on this. I should have just asked him. You know, that's what it says in the Bible. Would a father give a son a snake if he asked him for a loaf of bread? How much more, listen, Jesus is talking now, how much more would he give that boy what? The Holy Spirit, if he just asked. We need to ask the Lord to give us, so I have a prayer. I pray these breath prayers. I get on the floor and said, Lord, give me what I don't have. Don't give me what I already have. Give me what I don't have. And I pray for the love of Christ in my life. So we're going to talk about what all those things mean in January, okay? All right, here's your Christmas message, and I'll try to send you home at 10 after. But if I don't worry, you're out for the holidays. There are two people, I wanted to just speak briefly about two people that don't get a lot of press. Well, these two, one of the gals does, the Virgin Mary, but this particular part of the story, she doesn't get a lot of press when churches generally read the Christmas story and so forth. The first guy is Zechariah. His wife was Elizabeth. They had descended from Aaron. They were Levites. And they had kind of this was the priestly line, and they had like a raffle. And everybody had a number. So once in your lifetime, you got like a 3-week or a 2-week stint of ministering and burning incense, which stands for the prayers of the people. It's prayers of God's people are always sweet smelling to God in the Holy of Holies. And he was up. And it was his time to do this. Now, he'd only do it once in his life. Now, no one but these priests could go in back through that veil in the Holy of Holies. So they'd tie a rope around their leg in case they saw God or something and dropped dead. They could pull them out because nobody else was allowed in there. They'd literally do that. Well, when he was in there, he got a visitation from guess who? Anybody know? An angel. Anybody know which one? Gabriel, that's right. And he said, you're going to have a son, and his name's going to be John. This angel names it on behalf of God. Jesus and John are the only two people in the Bible where people didn't name them. The angel said what their name was going to be from God. And he said, this guy is going to be something. He's going to be full of the Holy Spirit while he's still in your wife's womb. Now, Zechariah says to this angel, excuse me, but how's this going to happen? You know, my wife's getting on down the trolley line. I love what angel, the archangel Gabriel says back. He says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Excuse me, what do you do again? You know, we all need to remember that. We sit around and go, how could God do it? Why would, shut up. Shut up. And that's exactly what the angel was telling that man. I stand in the presence of God. If I give you a message, son, you just shut up and say, yes, sir, thank you, sir. Show a little humility. And he said, by the way, while we're on this topic of shutting up, you want a sign that might give you a little help in believing this? How about you just shutting up till that baby's born? You know, that guy didn't. He shut up till that baby was born. I think that's a good word for all of us this Christmas. Just shut up. We all talk too much, don't we? I had somebody ask me the other day, you know those little touchy Christians kind of? I love them. I try to be humble around them. So I wanted to share something with you. You know, when guys start wanting to share stuff with me, I'm like, oh, dude, I got to go. What's the Lord been teaching you this year? I said to shut up. Just to shut up. Yeah. Here's the other one. Gabriel shows up again. And it's in the same chapter, the first chapter of Luke. And this time, he encounters Mary, that blessed 15-year-old woman of God. You know, the Protestants have thrown her off the bus. Some of the Catholics made her God. That's blasphemy. That's not right. It's somewhere in between, guys. The Lord said, you're the most blessed of all women. Mary's awesome, and she was totally obedient, and he came to her and said, now look, the Holy Spirit's going to put a little boy in you. It's going to be the Son of God. Now, she asked Gabriel a question. She says, okay, all right, I'm feeling it, but could you help me out? How's that going to play out a little bit? And the angel explained it to her. Now, here's our question tonight. Zechariah asked a question, and he got nailed. Mary asked a question, and she got blessed. What was the difference? Huh? Oh, good. You know this one. You know this lesson. Are you just figuring it out just now? I got to get you on my mailing list. Man, you got it. I like talent. Can versus will. Tell us what you mean by that. That's right. He doubted God. She didn't doubt him. She just was saying, could you just have mercy on me and just tell me a little bit how this is going to happen. I'm in. I'm all in. And this is when she said the famous line that the Beatles got wrong. She said, let it be with me as it is unto thy word. So that's my last little nugget for you. This famous phrase by Mary, let it be unto me as it is unto thy word. I have adopted this as a breath prayer. I have built up an arsenal of breath prayers through my life. These are prayers you can pray with one breath. I would encourage you to have an arsenal of breath prayers. For example, another breath prayer I pray every day is, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. That's a breath prayer. I said that in one breath. You know, sometimes you're going to get news. Maybe Lewis thinks he's done for a while, and all of a sudden they say you're going back out. Oh, man, that's not what I was thinking. You may get news and your life's not going to go the way you think it's going to go, or something happened the way you didn't think it was happening. That's a wonderful prayer, the prayer of Mary, the praise and prayer of Mary at that point. Okay, Lord, I don't get this, but let it be with me as it is unto your word. If you say it, I'm in. I don't get it, but I'm in. Isn't that a wonderful prayer she prayed? It's one of my favorites. Well, I want to close tonight with telling you about the song Silent Night. Silent Night is the most popular Christmas carol in the world. And it was written 180 years ago at the little parish in, I think you call it, Oberndorf, Austria. And Joseph Moore, and a guy named Franz Gruber wrote it. Their parish was discouraged. They were agrarian, like a lot of the world was back then. And they said, we need a Christmas carol that would just encourage our people. And before the Christmas Eve candlelight service in their little parish, these two brothers, they were young priests, wonderful friends. They show up at the church about 3 hours early, and about 2 hours, they write this song. Now, the song Silent Night just took off. It's been translated now into literally hundreds of languages. But what's funny, as the song took off, these two men went this way and just went into obscurity. And just recently, they found them. One died rather young. The other stayed in the ministry until like his early 70s. They found his grave outside a church, and every Christmas Eve, a choir goes to his grave, and they sing Silent Night around his grave. Now, there's a famous incident that actually happened in World War I. According to Silent Night, they were in trench warfare, and no end in sight. I don't know which side started singing first, whether it was the Americans or the Germans, but the other men heard it, and they began to sing, half in German, half in English. Now, the original German composition was 6 or 7 verses. A godly an American in the 1800s, Episcopal priest, translated into three verses in English, and that's what we know. And we got a little clip that just tells you, that shows these men came out and they had kind of a spontaneous armistice because of this song. And then we'll sing it together.
Jenkins, Oakley,
Knight.
Holy.
Jim?
Jim! No, don't do it!
Halt!
Er ist nicht bewaffnet!
Nein, Otto!
Jim!
My name is Jim.
Mein Name ist Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön.
Shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah,
You came to show us what love is. And Lord, I pray tonight for all my brothers here tonight, just like Forrest Ray, that you would put the love of Jesus in our heart. That's simple. That's supernatural. Where even our families would say, what is going on with you? So, Lord, I pray this would be a wonderful Christmas for all of us. Let us enjoy this Christmas like it's our last. We never know. Psalm says, Lord, teach us to number our days. How precious is the gift of time. Bless us and bless those we love this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer the peace.